Check, check. Well, good morning. Are you smelling that soup? It's getting our juices going. Hopefully that'll nourish our brains and our spirits to be receptive to what the Lord wants to feed us with. Amen? Well, we're going to continue on in our series on Kingdom Work. We're moving through the practical portion of this series. And we're in the part, the chapter of this series where we're talking about the work we do in love for one another. And so we're talking about church body life right now. The last 2 weeks, we explored two scriptures. We dug deep into Hebrews chapter 10. And last week, Joey dug into Galatians chapter 6, all in the context of the idea of a showing up is kind of how we described it, showing up. The idea is that in order for us to do the work that Christ intended for us to do in relationship with one another, we can't love each other from afar. We actually have to show up, right? In order for us to have real relationship, it takes showing up in each other's lives, and that happens in two different ways. One is we need to show up practically. We actually have to spend time together to love one another. And so that's a quantitative thing, right? It requires quantity. We actually need enough interaction, enough space and time in one another's lives that we can build relationships. But it doesn't just stop there. We actually also need to show up in a way that is a qualitative way. We need to actually, when we come together, we actually need to love one another, because we can spend time together, and we know this from all kinds of relationships in our lives, that we can tend to get into ruts, right? And so we aren't always focused on engaging one another in a quality way. But Christ calls us to love one another deeply, richly, with the affections of our hearts, that he wants our love to be real, not just some theory, not just some ideal, right, that we always preach about but we never actually do, but he actually wants us to interact with one another in such a way that deep love is built. And as Joey was preaching about this from Galatians 6, we realized that it means that we love one another through each other's failings and difficulties, that that's a key way that we build love in relationship, as we bear with one another, we love each other through those hard times and through those failings, and that we resist spiritual superiority, right? This isn't a big competition to see who's more spiritual, right? In fact, that gets in the way of us loving one another. And so we need to actually be humble with each other, help each other through those difficult times. Well, today's message I've entitled Substance versus Style. And it's kind of an application message to our last two messages. We're going to kind of draw from what we've learned. As a result, the stuff that I'm going to say today might be a little more controversial. So if you don't agree with something I'm going to say today, that's okay. I might not even agree with everything I say today. But sometimes we got to say stuff, we got to go into places and kind of stir up the pot. So take this away, take this message today away, and just allow the Holy Spirit, take it to the scriptures, be like the Bereans. Weigh it against the scriptures and see if this resonates with the scriptures. So where did I get this title from, Substance versus Style? Well, actually, I was really impacted by Hebrews 10:1 when I was preaching from it, where it says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. If you recall from that message, and perhaps you weren't here, so let me give you a little bit of a background. The writer is talking about the law in a very general way. He's talking about temple worship, the system of sacrifice, the sacrificial system of the Old Covenant. And he's saying that that whole system of worship, of corporate worship, is like shadows. And if you remember a shadow, I don't know if you can see my shadow, but my shadow is only present because there's a real body here, right? And so a shadow can only be present when something real is present. And so what the author, the writer of Hebrews, is saying is that the Old Covenant was a shadow. There's something real that it represents. that it points to. And that reality is that there is a real Holy of Holies, that God really does dwell in a place in the heavenly realms, this Holy of Holies. His throne is an actual place. It's a reality. And the sacrificial lamb and the sacrifice of atonement that was given annually, that was a shadow of what? Of who? Yeah, the Messiah, right? Who laid his life down so that we might receive forgiveness for sins, right? And so all of those systems of worship, that old covenant worship, those were all shadows of a reality. Are you getting that? They were kind of like a form of a substance, a true substance that they represented. Well, the New Testament church today is the reality of what the Old Covenant pointed to. The New Testament church is the manifestation of God's presence on earth. And this is what the writer in Hebrews chapter 10 is teaching. He says in Hebrews 10, 19, he says, in the present tense, he says this. He says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. So when we come together this morning, when we came together, guess what we entered into? The most holy place. That is here. Yes, it's a reality in the heavenly realms, but this is a mystery. Jesus has made a way for us when we corporately gather together to worship. We enter into the most holy place, where the presence of God is. He goes on to say in verse 21 that we have a great priest over the house of God. That's Jesus. He's making intercession for us. He's made a way for us to come with confidence into this most holy place, present tense. And because of that, in verse 22, it tells us that we can draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance of faith. That's pretty amazing. All the things that the old covenant was pointing to, we've received in Christ. And so when we gather together, the reason that we need to gather together as the body of Christ is because God wants us to enter into his presence. And that happens when we gather together for corporate worship. The whole New Testament points to this. Let me verify that. When Jesus instructed his disciples to pray, how did he say to pray? He said, our Father who art in, holy is your name. And then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was saying the Father wants his kingdom to come from the heavenly places into the earthly places. Folks, that's done through the believing community. That's done through the church. When we gather together for corporate worship, God fills us with his presence. He wants his kingdom to come into his people, his will to be done in our midst. That's why we gather together to worship him. It's important. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says this, don't you know that you yourselves, this is corporate, you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. So when we gather together, individual temples of the Holy Spirit, we come together, the Holy Spirit comes to as a great bonfire. We're coming in, little lights, we come together, we're a great bonfire, the presence of God, gathered together. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. Why? For God's temple is sacred. You know what? This building is not sacred. The people in the building is what makes this place sacred. And you together, when we come together, are that temple. We are the temple of God. When we show up physically, but also when we show up spiritually, when we show up in one another's lives in a meaningful way with love and unity, when we show up and we worship God together, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And his presence on earth becomes a reality, not just a shadow. In Ephesians 1:22, it tells us that because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, that God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We are the fullness of Jesus Christ on earth. He ascended into the heavenly realms, and he left behind a physical body in the corporate church. We are the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece. We are the manifestation of the presence of Jesus Christ on earth. Amen? Do you believe this? This is what the scriptures clearly teach. We are the substance of Jesus on earth. We are the reality of Jesus on earth. If the world wants to meet Jesus, this is where they'll meet him, in the corporate body of Christ. He has chosen to be revealed through us. They will know we are Christians by our love. Why? Because God is love. He is present in our love. I could go on and on. Please understand that not one part of the body is the fullness of Christ on earth. Not one of us can fully represent Jesus Christ on earth. Only corporately, when we come together, do we become the fullness of Christ. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. We become fuller and fuller as we become more and more filled with his love for one another. We better manifest his love on earth when his love takes over our fellowship. When his unity fills our fellowship, we become better manifestation of his presence on earth. So not one person, it's a gathered people that manifest his presence. I asked the question this week, well, why is that? Why would God choose to do that? I think, and this is my opinion, that the answer for that is kind of found in John 17, where Jesus is praying for his church, right? You guys remember that prayer? Prayed for you and me. Jesus prayed to the Father for us. And he prayed several things, and he prayed, one of the things that he prayed was that we would be in him even as he was in the Father. And that we would be one, so that the world would know that the Father had sent Jesus. So when we are one, when we are loving one another, and when his presence is filling that place, guess what happens? The world comes to believe that the Father sent Jesus. They see reflected in our love for one another, Christ's love for the Father and the Father's love for Christ. When they see that love for one another, that's what's manifested in this place. Getting a little more excited about Christian fellowship? I hope so. I hope this inspires you. Unfortunately, we often think of church more in terms of style than substance. And let me explain what I mean by that. We tend to base our understanding of church based on external forms, right? Even the fact that we say, I'm going to church. How many of you guys say that? Where are you going? I'm going to church. You are the church, but we say that, right? And sometimes that gets confusing for us because we think of church as an address. We think of it as a meeting place and a meeting time. But that's not who we are as a church. We got to really be vigilant about getting those ideas out of our head, because we're a people, first and foremost. We're the people of God. And sometimes what ends up happening is we start to evaluate what we think are spiritual realities, but are actually style. We see style and we think it's substance. We evaluate the spiritual health and vitality of God's people based on things that we can see, like the number of people at church. Well, that's a healthy church because it's a full church, right? So we evaluate things based on numbers, or perhaps we based it on who attends that church. Well, that church is full of young, hip people. That's a healthy church. It's a happening place. Or what the church building is like. Or perhaps what style of music is played. Or how people dress. Or other things that we can see in the externals. Just fill in the blank. These are all things I would categorize as style rather than substance. This is a core value, by the way, of our culture. Our culture, our society believes and preaches that we can actually derive substance from style. It comes out of the ladder line. We've talked about the ladder line, this idea that we compare ourselves with one another and we derive our worth for how we stack up against each other, right? And so when we live by that cultural core value that I can derive my worth by becoming more like so-and-so, right? If I could become more wealthy, if I could be land that job, if I could become thinner, if I could become more beautiful, if I could become a better leader, you know, fill in the blank, but basically how do I stack up against others? When we believe that ladder lie, that that actually contributes to our worth and our value, then church can become a place that's all about style rather than substance. If I look like this, if I talk like this, if I hang out with these people, if I work in this occupation, if I live in this neighborhood, if I drive this car, I will gain more worth and value. And folks, I'm not even going to ask because I know we all struggle with believing this lie. I struggle with believing this lie. As a pastor, let me just say that the numbers thing is a thing for me. You know, I think to myself, wow, doesn't it mean that I'm more successful as a pastor if I'm attracting more people to church, right? And so I struggle with evaluating the health of Trinity Baptist based on the number of people coming. But as I look through Scripture, I don't actually see that as a core value of the church. In fact, you can attract a lot of people to church and it'd be all about the style rather than the substance. You could be a mile wide and an inch deep as a church, right? Jesus prioritized depth of love over the breadth of the number of people who followed him. That was what his ministry was based upon, relationship. When this core value infiltrates the church, when we believe that we can derive substance from style, we begin to believe things like, well, if we do church like this, if we play the right style of music, if we have the right style of preaching, if we offer the right type of programming, then people will come, the right people will come to church, and we will be a people of substance. See, we're trying to derive substance from style. In this place, we become fixated on forms rather than the substance. By the way, you can even do this in unintended ways, right? Sometimes we can even make a style out of seeking God wholeheartedly. Wow, we're a deep church, right? And we can become more stylistically deep than really deep. It's pretty insidious. One of the hardest things to fake, though, is love, right? Love becomes evident in our relationships with one another. And whether we're showing up when we're not being stroked, when our desires and our likes are not being stroked, that points to substance rather than style. My concern is that, and I think this is Christ's concern, is that our ministry flows inside out rather than outside in. Do you know what I mean by that? What did Jesus say? He called out in the temple courts and he said, "Is anyone thirsty?" Right? And then he said, "Let him come to me." So what are we coming to in the temple courts? Who are we coming to? Right? That's the call. But are we? That's the challenge. Are we coming for Jesus? Is that the reason that we're gathering? And then he says, then the living waters will flow from within. That's the place where life flows. Style cannot give life. Substance comes when we see God wholeheartedly. We come together and express that in our love for one another. Practically, this means that we can tend to spend a lot of time fine-tuning performance. And I believe that that's part of the reason we, for hundreds of years, have structured our buildings like theaters. You ever notice that? You come to church, and we're structured more like a theater than a home. And yet we claim to be a family, so why are we a theater? Right? When we gather together. And I know there are practical reasons. Not everybody can speak at the same time when you're above a certain number, and all that kind of stuff is true. But the fact is that the way we've structured our corporate worship, you don't really even spend most of the time looking at one another or interacting with one another. And yet, the thing the Holy Spirit is most manifest in is our relationship with each other. Isn't that ironic? So here we come for corporate worship. In fact, I think a lot more is going to happen after the worship service in which the Holy Spirit can fill than up here right now, because that's when we're going to be interacting with one another. In that place, how will the Lord be glorified in our fellowship? Did you come with something to share with somebody? Did you come to love someone today? Because the Holy Spirit becomes manifest when we love one another. Right? Amen? You guys catching that? Why is it that style attracts crowds? Well, I think in the West, it's because it works. We've been raised in a society where we've been indoctrinated from very young to get what we want rather than really discern what we need. And so in this kind of consumeristic, individualistic society, we're conditioned to equate substance with style. And so we evaluate the church we go to based upon what we want, by our tastes, rather than on the substance of what God's calling us to in relationship. But I don't believe that's the kingdom. So why is it that we get our wires crossed in this? Well, I have a theory, and I'll run this theory by you guys, and you can kind of test it and see what you think about it. I wouldn't mind feedback on this. This is my theory. My theory is that we know that as believers, we have a deep need to be built up and edified. And we sense that this need for edification and to be built up should be met in the context of church. And actually, I think that's true. I think that's clearly taught in the scriptures, and I can point to several scriptures. I believe that the scriptures affirm both our need for edification and to be built up as believers in Christ, and that the church should be the place where that edification happens. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 and 5 says this: "Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified." Now, I don't want you to get waylaid by that. That's a bit of a controversial scripture, but the whole point of that scripture is to say that church should be a place where the church is edified. Right? When people use their spiritual gifts, they should be used for the edification and the building up of the church. In fact, in Ephesians 4:12, it says this: "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God, of Christ." So there it is again. The church has spiritual leaders whose main job is to equip the body of Christ with gifts and help them to grow so that what? The church might be built up, reach unity, and attain to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. There's that fullness of Christ again. These are just a few passages, by the way. There's tons of passages that talk about edification being the reason we get together. One of the main byproducts of our worship is to be the edification, the building up of the body. But listen, this is my question. What do we look to edify? What are we looking to? Are we looking to style, or are we looking to substance? And I think that's the question, real question I want to get at today. What are we going to church for? What do we think will meet those deep needs for edification? Do we look to the style of the music and say, because the music is in the style that's in line with my taste, I found that worship service edifying? Or is the edification happening at a deeper level when we come together? I think that's a really important question. Let me give you an example from our family life. Me and the boys like action movies. Probably no surprise there. Michelle and Maggie like dramas. This makes it really challenging for us to have a movie night at the Workington household, right? Because us guys, we want to watch something with action, and the ladies don't feel very edified by that. And the ladies, they want to watch something that's kind of drama, maybe a tearjerker. And us guys, we kind of get bored with that. Right, guys? Sort of. Sometimes we can find kind of like It's Got It All, the kind of movie. And so you can see the style or the genre of the movie kind of leaves parts of the family out. But guess what? When we come together as a family, it's not movies that edify us. Do you hear that? It's not really movies that have the power to edify us on that deeper level. What is it? Right, it's us getting together, spending time together, expressing love for one another. When that happens, doesn't matter what movie, doesn't matter what we're doing, when that happens, style is secondary. That's what I'm trying to get at in regards to the church. The style of what things sound like and look like here on Sunday morning is secondary to the substance of what we need, right? We need to find Jesus because he embodies his church. And we need to find one another. Everything else is secondary. The style is secondary to the substance. Now, you might walk away from church on a Sunday and you feel a lack of edification. You might think back to the service time and say, I didn't really connect with the style of worship, or I don't like it when that person preaches. Or I wish they did worship in this style. I'd find it more to my tastes. But if we're looking to style to edify, we're misplacing our expectations. We're looking to the shadow, not the substance. Amen? Do you guys hear what I'm saying? By the way, there's a big difference between feeling edified and being edified. I find dessert really edifying. Right? I like donuts and cakes and chocolate bars, but those alone cannot give me the nutrients that I need to really build up my body. If I lived on cakes alone, I would be a very unhealthy person. And yet, I think that's a good equivalent to style and substance. If we make church all about style, it's like, yeah, that's yummy. And you can find a church, I'm certain, in the style that is according to your tastes, but that isn't going to meet your deeper needs. In fact, how many times have you heard someone who's left at one church for another say things like, I just didn't feel fed, right? Or I need meat, right? I think what that's revealing is that we have a deeper need for edification. But the great irony is that we've grown up in a culture that tells us that we can actually meet those deeper needs for edification in cake. And so we keep looking to style to meet those deeper needs, and style just can't do it. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the love that is manifest when we do the hard work of loving one another. There's no substitute. True edification can only come from one source. Jesus is the one who said, is anyone thirsty? Do you need edification? Come to me. And where does he manifest the reality of his presence? When the body of Christ comes together. We can experience the substance of his presence, the fullness of his presence, his kingdom coming, his will being done like no other place on earth. This is what he intended when he left us here. And a big part of the kingdom work he's called us to do is to build the church. He's the builder of the church, but we got to cooperate as those building materials to come together in the way he intended. He wants us to be his fullness. Consumerism and style-oriented church cannot accomplish this. Why? For one, this kind of edification requires us to have those deep love-based relationships, and style is exclusionary. Style always excludes. Love-based relationships include cross barriers. Embrace those who are different. By the way, I don't know exactly what this all means. But I know that it would mean that we do church less like spectating, and we do church more like participating. And so I'm open to exploring what that means. How do we do church in a way that is participatory? You know, on Sunday mornings, we tend to be programmed to expect a few to use their spiritual gifts. But you know what? That puts a lot of pressure on the few. I know that worship leaders, I've been a worship leader over the years, feel an intense pressure to pick the right songs or to do worship in a way that is stylistically edifying for the church. And that kind of pressure can end up getting them focused on style rather than substance. And I don't know about you, but I want our worship leaders to be free to pursue Jesus. I want them to be free to know that the church is coming, not evaluating the style of their worship, but looking for the substance behind it. Amen? That's freedom. That's freedom for our worship leaders. I'm just going to read a scripture, and we'll kind of wrap it up soon. 1 Corinthians 14:26. This has been a central passage for me, and I want you to know this is a formative scripture for me personally, and is part of my core values. It says this: what shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done. Why? For the strengthening of the church. Are you catching what Paul's getting at? You see, he was writing this to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, they were the happening place. The spiritual gifts were happening there, but there was some performance orientation that had gotten in there. They had some very eloquent speakers, they had great preachers, they had some rocking worship. Man, they were just like, I mean, it was the happening church. But Paul was concerned because the people who had the most upfront, awesome gifts were getting all the press. And people were beginning to be sidelined who maybe didn't have those really great upfront gifts. And so what Paul is reminding the church of is that it takes everyone bringing their gifts. It's kind of like a potluck, right? Potlucks don't work very well if only a few people bring a part of the meal, right? What ends up happening is that we end up going away dissatisfied because not everyone received something. So when you come on Sunday morning and you go away dissatisfied or unedified, it isn't because the few used their gifts. It's probably more like because somebody else didn't bring something to share. Right? Because that's an unrealistic expectation.